Hola! Welcome to Speaking Spanglish with the one and only KB. I am super excited to have you all dive into this show with me. We'll be talking about all the positives and the negatives that come with being a child of immigrants. We're also going to touch on what it's like learning how to navigate between two cultures, and the challenges of finding one's place and identity in this ever-changing world. ¿Están listos? Let's get started. The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California and Penguin Radio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Speaking Spanglish with your favorite host, KB. Thank you. Today's show, episode 3, is going to be about gender and sexuality. We are going to be talking about how these relate to being a child of immigrants, basically looking at these two topics through the perspective of someone who is a child of immigrants, specifically a Mexican child of immigrants, because that is who I am, but just overall in general, what it's like to deal with these concepts as someone who is bicultural, essentially. We're going to be talking about gender roles in Mexico, in the U.S. We're going to talk about machismo, we'll talk about stereotypes, religion, plans for the future, and how to address these topics when I have my own children. We're going to get into it all, guys. But a little bit of housekeeping here before we continue with the show. Just a quick reminder, wear your masks, sanitize your hands, try to stay 6 feet away from people, and keep working towards a healthier and safer tomorrow, guys. We want to be done with this pandemic as quickly as possible. So many people have lost their lives. So many people have lost loved ones. We want to work towards a safer and healthier tomorrow. So continue to do so. Another quick pointer, the insane amount of hate crimes that have been happening. We talked about this last week towards the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities have increased so much, and it's insane. So do your part. If you see something, call it out. Step up and be that someone that stops a hate crime. Be that someone that intervenes when someone is about to get hurt. Just a few little points. I think I had to get those off my chest a little bit there, but moving on, getting back to the topic. You guys know I like to define things, so that's where we're going to start, just by defining gender and sexuality, because sometimes they can be confusing. They have different meanings for different people, but according to our handy-dandy Google, you guys know I love my Google, we are defining gender as the range of characteristics pertaining to and differentiating between femininity and masculinity. So depending on the context, these characteristics might include biological sex, meaning the genitalia you were born with defines your sex, or gender identity, you deciding that just because you are born with female genitalia, that does not mean you define yourself as female. Gender's been something that I've always kind of struggled understanding, right? I mean, growing up, I was in a very Catholic, pretty conservative household. So, you know, it was you're a girl or you're a boy. There was never any in between or switching. Now that I'm older and I've experienced a little bit more of the world and I've seen how complex and, you know, not black and white it is, I see that there are so many other genders that I had no idea about. And I've learned to respect that. I identify myself as female and someone might not. And I can't change that because that's not me. And something that's actually really common in Hispanic or Latinx, particularly Mexican culture, is this idea of gender roles. It's also very present in American culture, but almost more present in Mexican culture because there's this thing called machismo. It happens, as I said, in American culture, but it's very defined in Mexican culture, where, or Latinx, not just Mexican, where the man is the head of the household. They are the breadwinner. They are the one in charge of making decisions. And it's this manly pride, you know, like, I'm the man of the house. I'm the man.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is very stereotypical, right? Not every man is a breadwinner. Not every man is the one making decisions in a household. In my own household, my parents did everything equally. If my dad came home first, he was the one who cooked. If my mom had to go outside and, you know, build something, she would do it. There was never any gender roles that defined either of them. But they were kind of an outlier. I have aunts and uncles who, that's their dynamic. As frustrating as it is, that's how they work. But how can that be a little dangerous? How can that be problematic? Well, if you think about raising children, right? What if your son isn't capable of, you know, building you a house or of managing the household funds when they're older? What if they don't want to? Then are they seen as less of a man? In a lot of situations, yeah, they are. People will tell them, why is it that you don't put your part in? Why are you not manly like you should be? And that affects their self-esteem, their mental health. And for girls, right? Let's say they don't fit into the stereotype of being the girly girl who always needs help. They manage their stuff all by themselves. Then are they less womanly? Are they less feminine? Gender has always been something I've had a problem with because I think it's such a social construct that just honestly shouldn't exist. You should be who you want to be and not be defined by societal norms. Unfortunately, that's how our lives work. That's how our world works. And, you know, we try to combat it as best they can. I know I personally will go out of my way if someone, I remember being in like middle school and having those teachers that are like, are there any strong boys in the class that can come and lift this chair? And I would always stand up and be like, no, but here I am. I'll get up and help. Like, why does it need to be a strong boy? Those situations always frustrated me. And that's a big reason why I'm talking about this today, guys. Because as a Latina, as someone who grew up in a culture that's supposed to see me like that, as like, you know, a little feisty, but never too manly, I want to get away from that because I was a sport player. I was the one who was going to go outside and help my dad in the garden rather than be inside helping my mom cook. I still can't cook. I tell my mom all the time, how do you do that? I could not tell you how. But I've also learned that I can come inside and cook if I want to, but that's not gonna define me. Why should we fight these stereotypes? Because they're gonna affect the way this our society continues to develop. We want to have a more equitable and more equal society, then we need to talk about these stereotypes, talk about why they are problematic, and figure out how we fix them. And how do we go about accepting other genders? Genders that we may not have been exposed to. The way I was explaining, you know, I grew up with female and male. It wasn't until I was much older that I realized, you know, that gender is fluid. There's not necessarily one or two genders. How do we go about accepting those people? We talk about it. We can make sure we go out of our way to use the right pronoun when referring to someone. I know it's really common for people to be like, it's going to take me a while to get it. And yeah, it might take you a second, but every time you do mess up, all you have to do is apologize and then move forward. And the next time you refer to them, use the right pronoun. It's really not that difficult. I do want to mention, actually, March 31st, which is today, the day I am recording this podcast, is Transgender Visibility Day. To any of my listeners who may be transgender, I'm here for you. I am listening and I see you. And the rest of the world does too. It might take them a second to really understand. But that's why these platforms are here. That's why we talk about this stuff. To spread awareness, spread knowledge, and spread love and understanding. Now, we're going to transition to talking about sexuality a little bit in the next part of the podcast. As always, let's define what the term sexuality means. Handy dandy Google comes in and tells us that sexuality can be defined as the capacity for sexual feelings. It can also be a person's identity in relation to the gender or genders to which they are typically attracted, or their sexual orientation. And human sexuality is the way people experience and express themselves sexually. This involves biological, erotic, physical, emotional, social, or spiritual feelings and behaviors. Because it's a broad term, which has varied with historical context over time, it lacks a precise definition. So another very broad term, right? Just like gender, it's something that's difficult to define because it is so open and varied that it can have different meanings for everyone. We're going to focus in a little bit on this idea of the taboo-ness of talking about sex and sexuality in the Hispanic Latinx culture. I remember growing up learning about periods and learning about puberty and whatnot, right, in school. I never talked about it at home. It wasn't something you brought up. It was weird. Sure, yeah, my sisters were there and they supported me, you know, if I needed a pad or a tampon. But even now, as I'm talking about it, you know, putting it out to my listeners' ears, I find it a little taboo that I'm talking about it so openly. And I'm realizing that that is why I'm doing this. I want to get more comfortable talking about this with you guys. I want to get more comfortable talking about it with myself and with others. So that's why we're here. There was always this feeling of like, if I ever had a question about sex, if I ever had a question about changes that were happening in my body or in my peers' bodies as we were getting older, right? We didn't talk about that at home with mom and dad. It was weird. And I know that's common for a lot of immigrant parents to, you know, avoid the subject, let it happen at school, let it happen amongst friends, and not talk about it with their kids. Which, okay, if that is your take on it, cool. But I think there's a huge value in discussing this with your kids, especially around the ages of puberty, right? Things are happening in your body that you're like, what the heck? Why is there hair here? What is happening here? Like, whoa. Why do I feel this way? Why am I always upset? Why is everything making me mad? Hormones pumping through your body that you want to figure out why is this happening? Like I said, I was lucky enough to have two older sisters, but what about the people who are first in their family? Who do they go to if their parents aren't open to talking about this stuff? Going into talking particularly about sex, this is probably the most taboo thing to talk about. You'll hear the phrase, pórtate bien, a lot. No andes ahí de something. You know, they'll be telling you to be careful. Behave yourself when you're out and about. My parents were never ones to not let me go out. They would always be like, sure, have fun, be safe. Be safe. But what does that mean? If you've never told me what you consider to be safe or what you consider to be unsafe, how can I be safe? This is something I've argued with my mom with. And I love my mom so much. She's the best mom ever. But we've had arguments over this topic. And a big reason is because we are Catholic. You know, it's expected of you to wait. You won't need to talk about sex if you go according to the religion's plan and your God's plan, right? But let's be honest. How many people our age, how many college students aren't out having sex? Not that many. and the few who are might eventually do it. Wouldn't it be much better for them to be prepared and know what could happen if for some reason they were in a situation where they didn't feel safe enough to have sex? This is where I think rape culture can kind of come in. You know, you don't realize the situation you're in until after, and you're too scared to report it, either A, because you're too scared to tell your parents that something happened, or you just don't realize what just happened because you've never talked about it with anyone. There's also this idea that you should, you know, as I said, portarte bien, and not be out dressing provocatively, not be out asking for it. I put that in quotes, right? Well, that's sexist from the point of view of a young Latina woman. Why is it that I have to be the one to stop it from happening? And how am I supposed to be the one who stops it from happening if I am not prepared for a situation like this? If I haven't talked about it with someone? I'm lucky enough to have talked about it plenty with my siblings, my cousins, you know, I've heard it at school, but there are a lot of people who opt out of programs at school or are too nervous to ask about it. But that's why I'm here. That's why I want to open up this conversation. If you don't feel like you could talk to your parents about it, find resources, guys. Planned Parenthood is a great, great resource to go, even just to have a talk about, you know, changes that are happening in your body or anything, to talk about how to protect yourself in the case of unplanned sex. You know, these things happen all the time in the real world. And as much as our parents would like to block them out and hope that these things don't happen, pasan todo el tiempo. So we have to learn to kind of fend for ourselves a little bit. And as unfortunate as that is, we do. Learning our boundaries, learning our bodies, learning about what's happening and how we can actually help others to make it so that we have a more safe environment overall to talk about situations like sex and changes, puberty, anything like that. We want to have a space to be able to discuss this stuff. And I think I mentioned religion earlier and how it can cause a barrier. I'm Catholic. I'm very proudly Catholic, but that doesn't mean I'm going to shy away from topics like this, because I think that part of my job as a Catholic woman is to love one another and make sure everyone is safe, help those who are less fortunate, who maybe can't help themselves. That's why I'm here, to talk about this stuff. There's also this huge divide that the church creates, I think, between the LGBTQI community and the rest of the world. And it's not just the Catholic Church. Christians overall and in general, religion has pushed away the LGBTQI community, because, you know, according to the Bible or according to the teachings, it's wrong to be this person. I find that so frustrating, especially with the Christian and Catholic churches. How are you going to tell someone that they shouldn't exist because of their sexuality when Jesus told you to love everyone, right? Isn't that your biggest teaching? You can't pick and choose. Now, I'm learning to balance these beliefs myself. You know, I am still learning to be more accepting of others, to be accepting of myself and my interest in learning more about sexuality and gender. And I plan to eventually teach my kids to be more tolerant and advocate for them and their generation. My kids won't have to struggle to find out, you know, about birth control or anything having to do with sex, because I will hope to be as open and tolerant of their situations as possible. I want them to learn about these things ahead of time, before they're in a situation where, you know, they really wish they knew what was going on. I think that's my biggest advice for everyone on these topics, is to learn more yourself, And continue to have these conversations if you are able to with your parents, if not with your peers, with your other family members who you trust. Find those people that you can go to and discuss these things with. Planned Parenthood is a great, great place to go for just for counseling and any sort of advice for sexual health or identity help. It's so important that we have spaces like this to go to. Now, I hope you've all sort of seen my perspective and the Mexican child of immigrants perspective on this topic, but I'd love to hear more about other students, other children of immigrants, and how they've dealt with gender and sexuality. I'm hoping that maybe in the next few shows, I could have comments from other students and kind of add them in, even if it's at the end, even if we're talking about a different topic, just because I find it really interesting that it's kind of cross-cultural, right? Not just between the American and the Mexican, but this is something very taboo for a lot of cultures. So look forward to that, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 3 of Speaking Spanglish. I look forward to keep doing more episodes in the coming weeks, guys. Muchas gracias por escuchar. Bye!